The glut of fossil fuel is now likely to be around for summer driving. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The price of crude oil tumbled between 3 and 4% early today. This after OPEC, the oil producers' club, tried but failed to limit increases in production over the weekend. That meeting ended in disarray in Doha, Qatar on Sunday. And Marketplace's Andy Euler is following the aftermath. Good morning to you.
Good morning, David.
So what do we know about why the talks broke down?
Well, certainly if you talk to the Saudis, they're going to tell you it's Iran's fault. But it's not like the Iranians pulled a fast one at the meeting. We knew they weren't going to freeze production. After all, sanctions were just lifted and they're trying to get in on a new market. Iran didn't even send anybody to the meeting anyway. Saudi Arabia held that it wouldn't sign up to anything without Iran at the table. But more than a production freeze, this problem is that we all thought that something was going to signal, this was going to signal cooperation among the oil producers, and those expectations have now been dashed. I talked with Richard Mallinson. He's a geopolitical analyst at Energy Aspects this morning about it.
It's more that sentiment has taken a hit. Expectations were allowed to build up and have been disappointed, and OPEC has lost even more credibility as a result.
All right, Andy, what about prices moving forward?
So overall, oil supply is actually falling, which is thanks in large part to U.S. production being down more than 500,000 barrels over last year. Mallinson reiterated that supply and demand have actually been evening out over the past 18 months and that price is more or less stabilizing.
And actually, if prices drop a few dollars, that's only going to add to that rebalancing process and solidify it further.
That's not good news for oil companies, but a less volatile market is something they're looking for.
Andy, thank you. Japan's Nikkei index fell 3.4% today as Japan's big manufacturers assessed damage to their own facilities and those of Japan's far-flung supplier networks after the twin pair of earthquakes there. Toyota, the world's biggest car company, has temporarily suspended production. The more urgent story at this point is getting water, food, and medical supplies to people in remote areas of both Japan and Ecuador. Some developments today in how moving pictures are delivered to the screens that you own. You'll soon be able to pay for Amazon Prime Video by the month instead of by the year, which had been the tradition. And rival Netflix today is revealing its latest quarterly profits and its headcount, the number of paying customers. The big opportunity for growth may be outside the U.S., as Marketplace's Adrian Hill reports.
In early January, Netflix stormed into more than 130 countries, giving it a presence nearly everywhere, except for China, North Korea, and a couple other places. Investors are going to be looking closely at today's earnings report to see how well the land grab is paying off. Paul Verna is an analyst at eMarketer.
The subscriber numbers are going to be pivotal just simply because of the massive expansion that they had.
Counting on global subscriptions for growth is risky.
There's table stakes to just be in a country.
Michael Pachter is a research analyst at Wedbush Securities. He says Netflix had to create the infrastructure to deliver the service.
They have to then license content independently region by region or country by country.
And he says Netflix has to tailor its offerings to different markets with different tastes. Not everyone in the world wants to watch Fuller House. I'm Adrian Hill for Marketplace.
Five visa program offers a path to citizenship to those rich enough to invest at least $500,000 here. Marketplace's Mark Garrison reports from a construction site in New York on why these visas have such fierce defenders and critics.
Side. The $25 billion project is the largest private development in American history. $600 million of that is from EB-5 visa investors, a number that could double by the time the whole project finishes in the middle of the next decade.
EB-5 was a critical component for us early on.
Jeff Blau is CEO of Related Companies, which is developing Hudson Yards.
Think back to when we started this in 2009, 2010, the economy wasn't so strong. And so that EB-5 capital filled that gap for us.
The program began in the early 90s with the goal of bringing in job-creating investments from abroad. For many years, it was tiny, well below its annual cap of 10,000 visas. But after the financial collapse, the program exploded with a wave of Chinese applications. Supporters of the program, like Blau, point to the jobs and economic impact their developments create. The buildings at Hudson Yards will house private equity firms and luxury shops, but their bones are steel, manufactured in Virginia and welded into place by American workers earning middle-class pay. Critics say too much money is going to real estate projects that benefit the wealthy, such as Manhattan skyscrapers and Vegas hotels. Audrey Singer is a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution who follows EB-5 financing.
It is a program with a lot of flaws. It's easy to exploit the program.
Foreigners who invest in high unemployment areas get a break on how much money they have to put in. But developers have found ways to use that money for projects in wealthy areas. Singer says the program can do some good, but it needs to tighten rules so benefits go to neighborhoods that need them most. A bipartisan attempt to make changes recently failed, beaten down by the real estate lobby and congressional supporters in both parties. That means a pricey express lane to American citizenship remains open. And the argument will rage over whether it's the right way to go. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison for Marketplace.
And from our Hope Springs Eternal department, as more people and their accountants file tax returns online this year, is it possible the lines at the post office will be a little shorter with the deadline today? Well, here's the logic, right? People often wanted return receipts and certified envelopes for their paper returns with the resulting post office rigmarole. Perhaps today they might just send the slimmer envelopes containing their checks to the tax collector using a simple first-class stamp. We'll see. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.